Well, I want to get a little, think about life a little bit today. So every once in a while we take, it's good for us just to take a step back and really kind of evaluate our life, isn't it? You ever do that and just kind of take a look at the big picture of life? And it's good. It helps you gain some perspective. So today I kind of stole this idea from somebody, a pastor in California named Francis Chan. You're going to tell, but it's kind of original because I'm using a chain instead of a rope. But I want you to get the idea. I bought a little chain here. You guys see? Can you guys see this? So I've got a chain, and I'm going to have every link of this chain represent 10 years of our life. 10 years of your life, okay? Just to give us a little perspective. So I've got one link of the chain. Can anybody see this? It's really small. It's one of those chains that hang plants. Though this first 10 years, you're born. This is 0 to 10 years old. You're born. You learn how to walk, learn how to ride a bike. You go to school. Next 10 years, right? 10 to 20. You see that? You probably can't see that because it's so small, right? You start going to school, you go to middle school, you go to high school, you start thinking about life. That third year is when you start having to be an adult. How many of you just love being an adult, right? Isn't that so much fun? And you start having to have a career, starting to have a family, all those kind of things. Fourth decade, so just life keeps going on and on and on, right? Fifth decade, so that would be the one that I am in right now. It's kind of fun. Anybody know how old I am? That's all right. You don't need to know that. So you can see, like, it's starting to get longer. And then that sixth decade, you're starting to think about what's going to happen next. So correct me if I'm wrong, but Candy's dad didn't make it past this link of the chain, right? How old was your dad when he died? Huh? I lied. All right, so it's the next one. You got to. And this is where my dad, Candy's dad, my dad's dad, which is my grandpa, didn't make it through. And then you get to another decade. So what would that be? 60 to 70? Then 70 to 80? Am I right? 80 to 90? And that's when my mom's parents passed away. 90 to 100, that's when my grandma, my dad's mom, passed away. And then 100 to 110, we had somebody in Bible study Tuesday morning that had his great-grandma that was 108 years old. So somebody lived that long. So let's just take a look at that. See that chain hanging there? That's life, all right? That's the life we have. But the Bible talks about that life doesn't end with death, does it? That everybody, did you know this? A lot of people don't know this, but everybody is going to live forever. Not just those that know Jesus, but people that don't know Jesus. Every single person that's ever lived is going to live forever. So I want to put this in perspective here. Anybody want to help me out? All right. Mark, yes, you want to help me out? Can you just stretch this out? 10 years at a time. You might have a nod in there. Keep going out that door. All right. You starting to get the point here? So this was at 110, right? You start to look, 120. 30, 140, 150, 160, 200. This is where the founding fathers of America are a little bit past this point, right? So I'm going to double it and just kind of do a guess, right? That the reformers and those that discovered and explored America are at about that point in their life. And if Mark was good at the, you know, kept going, you don't have to do this because this would be hard. But let's just say Mark was running down Clark and just kept running with this chain. And then he got onto I-90, put his thumb up, and said, "You going to Seattle?" Because does anybody know that I-90 goes all the way to Seattle? And it just keeps going and going. Count your 10 years at a time. And then is it over then? No, it's going to go past the Pacific Ocean, wherever that leads, and around the earth, and it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. I just wanted to give you a little perspective of what our life is like. So I see a couple of you. I see one walking right there. 0 to 10. I see my kids back there that are in this. 12 and 14. We got any 20s, 30s. But look at what your life is. And it just makes you think. Like if I live to be, I don't know, we don't know. If I live this long, this is my question. What's more important? What should my focus be? This or that, and look to Seattle and the Pacific Ocean and all. Does that put it in perspective at all? What should our investment be? What should our life be? And I'm just going to put this down here to make you think about it. And we'll just leave it like that. So we're looking at Jesus, and Jesus is in the book of Luke. Right now he's at the house of a Pharisee having dinner. And Pastor Joe talked about this last week, is he challenged the people that went to the dinner. But he has another challenge too. So Pastor Joe talked about you need to have humility. You need to say, don't sit at the most honored place because you might get kicked out of there. Sit at one of the lower places. The host might say, come on up here, right? So Jesus challenged the people that were going to the dinner. But then he turned in Luke chapter 14, verse 12, and he challenged the host of the dinner. And when Jesus talked a lot in the New Testament and the Gospels, we see that he looks beyond this life so often when he talks and talks about the life to come. And I don't know, I didn't talk about this, but think about this. If you would count out 200 of those, that's where the apostles are. And Jesus, here's a trick question. Jesus, is that where he's at too? Trick question. No, he existed before he was born. The Bible talks about his start was eternally back there. If you want to blow your mind, that's going to blow your mind. But that's what the Bible teaches. But Jesus had an idea, and he knew the end game, and that's what he continually taught. So that's what he wanted to teach the host, is don't just think about those few little links in the chain that's your life. Think about that life to come. And that's what I want to challenge all of us to do today, is prioritize your life to come. And that is, it could be good news, it could be bad news. You're going to live forever. One way or the other, body, soul, both is going to live forever. There's going to be a resurrection that's coming someday. So your spirit is going to live forever once you're away from the body. The Bible talks about, I need to get my references here, in 2 Corinthians 5, that once we're apart from the body, we can be present with the Lord if we know the Lord. But our spirit, our immaterial part, our supernatural part of our body is going to live forever. But a lot of people don't realize this. Our physical part, this body, is going to live forever too. There's going to be a resurrection of all people. So think about that. This is your life. This is just a small part of your life. This is your life. And think going down Clark and 90 and that. So I want to challenge you today. Make the priority of your life the life to come. Make the, this life here on earth is so short. And that one is so long, and it's infinitely better. And that's what Jesus is going to point out today. He's going to have, this is what's cool about Jesus, is when he hangs out with people, he makes everything a teaching moment. And that's what's happening in this passage. He taught the people that went to the banquet, and then a lot of times it's unsolicited, right? He said, I want to teach you something too. The host, you know, thank you for hosting me, but did you ever think of this? And this is what he said to him. So if we look at Luke chapter 14, verse 12, it says, then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. And there's something that we need to talk about in the text right now. It doesn't say don't ever invite. It's don't always invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives. So it's like don't ever have something for everybody, but it says not every time you have something. Don't invite these kind of people. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid, right? Did you ever have that you've had somebody over or did something because you know you're going to get something out of it, right? So has anybody ever asked you when you asked them to come over? So I hear the laugh already, so you must have had this before. So what is it that you really want, right? What is it that you really want? So don't always do that. But Jesus said to his host, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. So when you invite people, and this is what's cool about this church, I see this heart in our church a lot, which is cool and it's very commendable. Don't always invite people or don't always give because you can get something back. But the trick is actually, you are going to get something back. And this is where we need to think about this. Look at that last sentence in verse 14. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So do you guys get that? You see that there's this life and there's that life. And there's just little hints at this. We don't really know. I mean, think about this. In the year 30,419 of our eternity, I just made out a random number. What are we going to be doing then? We really don't know. All we know is if you know Jesus, it's going to be really, really good. If you don't know Jesus, it's going to be really, really, really bad. All right? And we don't like to talk about that a lot, but that is the very fact of the matter. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. And he's referring to something that the Old Testament prophets and actually Jesus himself talked about. So one is in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This is the resurrection of the righteous. And I'm going to read this for you. And if you would like to turn there, you're welcome to do that. But Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, this is an angel, a messenger of God, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. So I believe that's still future for us. There's going to be hard times coming, but everyone written in the book will be delivered. And verse 2, this gives us the hint. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So this is what Jesus was talking about. The resurrection of the righteous, see? Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So there is coming a day when all those people that were dead from Adam to whoever, Jesus, right? He's already alive. Did you know that? Jesus is actually alive. His physical body is at the right hand of the Father. But when there's a time, and it's going to come at different periods, when everybody is going to be raised from the dead, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. We hate to talk about it, but it's right here in the book, all right? And Jesus talked about it in John chapter 5, verses 28 through 29. He said, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." So there's going to be a resurrection. Some are going to get to live. Some are going to be punished forever and ever and ever. So that's what Jesus is referring to when he talks about you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. But what I want to talk to you about right now is invest in that time to come. You see, what Jesus was saying here is don't invite people that are going to be able to pay you back. You're going to get your reward right now in this life. What you should do is invite people that can't ever pay you back. And you'll say, well, they can't pay me back. But Jesus is saying, you will be rewarded. It's just there. How is that? I don't know. What's that look like? I really can't tell you, but that's part of faith and believing. So I just want to take a really quick heart check for everybody. Take a look at your life, at your priorities, at your investments of your time, money, energy, everything like that. What are you investing in? I'll pull this up again. Are you investing in this or that? Sorry if I hit you, Miss Cheryl, with the chain. Didn't mean to do that. But which one are you investing in? Is your money going to make a difference here or here? Is your time going to make a difference here or here? Is your effort going to make a difference here or here? Are your thoughts going to make a difference here or here? What are you investing in? Just think about that. Think about that for a little. And Jesus talks about that. Is there's lots of times when he says you will be rewarded in the life to come. And there's also, he talks about it, and this is really hard to talk about, but he talks about that life to come, if you don't know him, as eternal fire that will never be quenched, and it'll be a time of suffering. So if you're anything like anybody that's living right now, you're thinking, I want to make sure that I get to that good life and not to the burning life, right? Is that what everybody says? And this is where Jesus turns the table on this passage. Because there's someone sitting there that voices what we're probably all thinking at one point of time. Do you see that in verse 15? When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat in the feast at the kingdom of God." And he's probably thinking, man, they are really blessed. But I'm pretty sure it's not going to be me. All right, that's probably be what he's referring to. And this is where Jesus turns the tables. At the table, we sang that song, right? We talk about, wouldn't it be great to be at the table of the Lord? Let me read what that's talking to. Is Brian still here? I don't see. Oh, hey, Brian. Isaiah is probably my favorite book of the Bible, one of my favorite books, so I really like that. But Isaiah talks about this very feast that this man brings up. So if in Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 8 says, on this mountain, and he's talking about where Jerusalem is, on this mountain the Lord Almighty, so Yahweh of the heavenly armies, will prepare a feast of rich foods for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wine. So this is still future for us. This is what the guy was talking about, okay? So the best of meats and the finest of wines. Sounds good, right? And he goes on in verse 7. This is Isaiah 25. I see some of you turning there. On this mountain he will destroy, this is cool, the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And here's a Hebrew way to say the same thing three times. It's the sheet that covers all nations, the shroud that enfolds all people. You know what he's talking about? Is death. So whatever nationality, ethnicity, walk of life, or whatever we are, we have the shroud of death over us, or the sheet that covers all nations. But what does it say here? On this mountain, he will destroy that. There's going to be a banquet that we go to, that there's going to be no more death. And then it says he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. So that's what the promise is, that there's going to be a day, there's going to be a great banquet. And the guy that's sitting at the banquet is saying, man, that would be great if I was one of the ones sitting. Jesus said, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. But Jesus is going to turn the tables on this, okay? Because in our thinking, it's like, I hope I make it. I hope I've done enough good things that I can make it to that banquet and have perfection for eternity. But Jesus is going to turn it around and say, what you don't realize is every single person that's ever lived is invited to this banquet. So everybody seated here is invited to this banquet. But the tables are turned to say, we're so focused on this that we forget about this and don't accept the invitation. And let's talk about, Jesus does a parable, and let's just take a look what he said. So Jesus replied, and this is what I like about Jesus. He teaches with a parable to help us to understand. The guy didn't say, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus didn't say, yeah, that will be great, right? No, he answers in a different way because he wants to teach a lesson. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But so there was this Jesus telling a story about a great banquet, and this man said, come on, come and be a part of my banquet. But look what happened. This was after the RSVPs have been made. But when it was time for them to actually come to the banquet, look at verse 18. But they all began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. So do you see what's happening here? There's people that are invited to a perfect eternity, kicked off with a great banquet. And they kind of say no, but they're kind of just focused on this. And life can get very overwhelming. And I'm not saying, oh, that's so bad if you focus on, because it happens to all of us, right? But you focus so much on this that you don't realize that. And it's kind of like, yeah, I think that would be cool, but right now I got a new field, or I got a new yoke of oxen, or I got a new car, or I got married, or I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. And you get so busy and so bogged down with life, it's kind of like, I'll do that later, fine, I'll do that later. And by the time it's done, you've never actually said, yeah, I'm going to come. And that's kind of what Jesus is talking about here. And here's where Jesus puts in the shocker. Because the people, remember the people that he's eating with? He's at a Pharisee's house, and these are like the elite of society. Remember Pastor Joe talked about this? The guy that was sick came in to get healed, and they were trying to trap him in his words. And what happened to the guy? Are you guys paying attention? What happened to the guy after he got healed? It's like, all right, see you later. Get out of here. This is an A-list party, right? So that's what people are thinking. You need to be an A-lister, and you need to be really good to make it to this banquet. But Jesus wanted to make a point here. And he says in verse 21, the servant came back and reported to his master, Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant. It was like, why don't they want to come? And he ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. So those aren't the A-listers in that society. Those are some of the lower rungs of the society because they can't take care of themselves and they need to beg or they need to do something. But the point that Jesus was making is you don't need to be an A-lister. You don't need to have it all together. You don't have to be perfect to have a place at my table like that we sung about. You see that? Because I know right when I think about, do I deserve eternity? Do I deserve to be in perfect eternity with God? The answer is a resounding no. I don't deserve it. And if we really take a look at our lives, none of us do. But Jesus is telling you it's these people are invited. You're invited too. But the servant said to him, the one that was giving out the invitations, sir, what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room. So he already went ahead. He knew the heart of his master and invited even those people. And some of those people said, no, I don't want to come either. And there was still room. And I want you to repeat that with me. And that's one of the big points of this passage. Ready? There is still room.
There is still room.
There is still room for me. All right, you got that part? Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, or compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. So this was not only the A-listers of the Pharisees, these were the Jewish leaders of the day. And they were thinking, this is God's eternal banquet. So only, of course, only Jewish people are going to be invited to this banquet, right? But what Jesus was saying, go out into the hedges and the fields, is like what he talked about. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, whatever ethnicity, background. We're all in a level playing field. And there is still room, right? There is still room for you. And that's what he's saying. But this is the point that I want to make today. And it's staring you in the face. All right? Let's get my chain back here. You are being offered this. You are being offered this. Will you accept it? Because there's a possibility that there is punishment forever on this. And I want to make this very clear. The way that Jesus worded this, does he want you to be punished? Or does he want you to have perfection? But this is the key. He doesn't want to make you do anything. He wants you to choose and decide. And I want to talk about how does this happen? We talked about this. I'm not worthy to go to that great banquet and that eternity. That's why Jesus came. Jesus was God, became a human being, lived a perfect life. And then the death and the punishment that we were supposed to take, he took upon himself at the cross. As we talked about that, he started to find out what that eternal punishment was like. But 3 days later, he came back from the dead. And because he came back from the dead, he can take anyone he wishes back from the dead with him to live with him in heaven forever and ever and ever. In the new heavens and the new earth forever and ever. But it's up to us to say, I receive that. And we need to realize, I'm not good enough. I need to be forgiven. But your way is paid through the blood on the cross. And we're going to talk about that as we take communion here. So my question today is, have you accepted that invitation? to perfection for eternity, this great banquet. Have you ever actually said, Jesus, I want to be a part of that. I want to live with you forever. If you haven't, I would even encourage you, as we sing the song, as we finish up here, just to come and talk to me or talk to Pastor Mark or somebody else. Come down here. We have padded things that if you want to come down here and pray, kneel down and pray and say, Jesus, I want to live with you forever. Because there is still room for you. It's not that God doesn't want you to be there. He wants you to be there. So will you accept that? And what are you investing in? Are you investing in this or are you investing in that? And when it says compel people, he sent his servant out to compel people. Are you helping people want to come to this banquet? And I think about this compel. What does that mean? So we're Cedar Point fans. Anybody else like Cedar Point? It's kind of fun. So my daughter, when she went to Cedar Point the last time, her favorite ride was the Iron Dragon. And she said, Dad, that's where I want to go first. So we went there first, and she got afraid. And I said, you said you wanted to ride it. You've had fun on it before. And you try to compel her. And she didn't end up riding it. And then later on the day, it was her own idea, so we rode it. And guess what the first thing she said was? Can we go again? So, compel people. Tell them there's eternity. Tell them God is so gracious and kind, and there is room. There is room, right? So, I'm just going to go right into this too. But we're talking about, if you want to get your bread and your cup out, we're going to be receiving communion together. We're going to be remembering what happened here. And what's kind of cool about this is I'm going to flip over into Luke. When Jesus took the cup, remember what he said? He said, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. I would like to think he's talking about this banquet. He's talking about some banquet that's going to come in heaven. But Jesus isn't drinking this until it's all been fulfilled and we can all eat there together. Like this is real stuff. This isn't fairy tale or make-believe. This is real. And it was paid for by the bread of Jesus. And we ask that only those that have given their life to Jesus, that have asked him to save them, would take communion with us. And if you haven't done that, I want to encourage you to make this your very special first communion. You can do it at your seat. You can do it up here. You can come up here, like I said before, and just say, Jesus, will you save me? I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. And will you save me? This first communion can take on a great new meaning. But if you look at this cup that we have, the one side has a wafer in it, like a little piece of bread. If you would like to take that out right now, just take a look at it. And this, Jesus said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the body of Jesus. It was beaten, punched, hit with rods, hit with whips, nailed to a cross for your sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds you are healed. This is why we can go to that banquet. That is why there is still room. If this didn't happen, there would be no room for any one of us in this building. Or anybody in the world. But since Jesus did this, there is room. There is still room. So let me pray for the bread and for the cup. And after I pray, let's take this together. Father, we thank you for your plan of salvation, and Jesus, for willingly coming and becoming a human being, living for us, dying for us, and being rose again for us. Thank you that you are alive in your physical body, seated at the right hand of the Father, and that you want us to come. You want us to be in relationship with you. You want us to live with you forever and ever. We thank you, and help us to do this in remembrance of what you've done. So take the bread and think about the body that was given for you. If you flip it over, open this up. The Bible talks about blood, and it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And you look at that throughout the whole Old Testament, animals were getting slaughtered all the time for people to be forgiven of their sins. But the book of Hebrews talks about that there was one sacrifice that can cover all sins. And that's the blood of Jesus. His blood pays the price for our sins. So if you say, I'm not worthy to go to that banquet or live in perfect eternity, you are 100% right. But this blood covers your sins so that you can be forgiven. So as you drink this, think about the blood and think about Jesus waiting to drink this fruit of the vine with us in eternity. Let's take the cup. Father, thanks again for your plan. We are so unworthy of you, but you want to be with us forever. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. And if there is anybody here who does not know you, I pray that they would even get out of their seat and come and talk to somebody, or come down front and ask you to save them. Help us to be thinking about our eternity and invest in that each and every day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.